Hey everyone, this is Rashi from Deep Diving, and you can now listen to my show streaming on Amazon Music. You can find and follow us in the Amazon Music app to get every episode, and you can also listen on the go with hands-free listening powered by Alexa for iOS and Android and on all Echo devices. Hello, hi, and welcome back to Deep Diving. After a month of a break, I'm back, and I think I should start explaining my absence because it's been exactly a month since I did the last episode, and people started thinking that this was like a two-episode show, which it's not. I'm back, and I was on a little break because it was December and there was a lot going on. But my thoughts are cool, calm and collected, and I'm back with another episode, and I'm really excited because we're starting off 2023 with looking at 2022 and what a year it's been and the things that I have learned last year and the things that I want to continue to work on in 2023. So happy new year everyone, and without further ado, let's get started. This year, I would say, was one of the most challenging years I've had because, first of all, I'm 20 years old, so half of my life was not challenging because I was a child. But in my adolescent and now young adult years, I think this year I've definitely learned a lot of things about myself and people around me and about the things that I've gone through. So it was very insightful, but it wasn't the best years I've had, so I thought that the one way I could make use of it would be to just pick up things that I've learned from it, from the experiences I've had, and turn them into positive lessons for the next year and for the rest of my life. And if you're listening, then maybe it will help you along the way as well. So I've made a list of the things that I've learned this year, and it's quite a long list, but we'll be speeding through some of them, and I'll be elaborating on some of the others where I want to share some of my personal experiences, because I think most of the things that I've learned this year have been through repeated experiences, not just one either. Like, I had to go through something again and again to find out what it really meant and what it actually taught me, because I think I know now that experiences are the best life lessons, because you can tell someone something 10 times and they probably won't listen, but once they go through something which teaches them the same thing, they'll understand what you're saying as well. So I'm going to start from the beginning, and the first thing that I learned was that the start of your year does not determine anything. And by this I mean that if you've had a shitty week so far, it's been 5 days of the new year, and if you haven't had the best time, it does not mean that you're going to have like a bad year or anything, because, you know, there's so much importance given to like the first days of 2023, like the first days of any new year and the first week and the first month. And, you know, people say that, okay, it's a new year, the way you behave today will be the way you behave for the entire year. And I think it's a bunch of crap, because the last year it started off for me like the worst way it could have started off for anyone. I was going through a really difficult period, and I thought that, I remember thinking that, okay, if this is how my year has started off, how is the rest of the year going to go? And granted that it was not easy in itself, there were pockets of happiness and pockets of just a lot of joy that I shared with my friends and my family, and really good experiences and good times that I had as well. But if I held on to that thing that, you know, like the start of your year determines your entire year, I don't think I would have had fun as much as I did either. So if, like, I haven't had the strongest start to this year as well, but I know that it's a slow process to kind of set your own routine and form a new lifestyle or create a new lifestyle step by step, and it's not like a one day thing. So I can't wake up on the 1st of January and just decide that, okay, from today onwards I'm going to be that girl and I'm going to have like the clean girl lifestyle, and I'm going to have the most productive schedule and do everything every day. It does not work like that, and you will have a reality check soon enough if you think it works like that. But it's something, it's a slow and consistent effort that you need to put in to make sure that every day is a little bit better than the last, or at least the same as the last day, and then you just build on from there. The next thing that I learned was to not leave things unresolved with my loved ones. And this is something that I've thought about a lot, but I've never really followed through with it because I didn't experience losing a loved one very suddenly till last year. And I remember one of the first few thoughts I had was how many things I had missed telling her, and how many things she'd asked me for that I told her I would tell her later, and I would, you know, sit with her and go through with it later. And that moment obviously never came. So something that I experienced this year is that you never know when it's going to be the last time till you actually witness losing someone all of a sudden. And it might seem a little scary, but the only thing that should make you do is just sometimes let things go, even if you're upset with your loved ones. And that's something I practiced this year a lot. There were moments where I was upset with maybe a friend or my parents, something like that. And I thought about it, and I thought about how much that problem meant to me. If it meant a lot, then I would sit with it and kind of try to resolve it. But if it didn't mean a lot to me, if it was something that I could let go, or if I wasn't really upset about it, if it was a minor thing, I kind of just let it go and just put it out of my head, and in my head forgave myself and that person and just took on a fresh start with them. And it made me feel better, and it made them feel better, and it just kind of did away with a lot of conflict, but also it kind of eliminated that time in the middle where you are upset with each other, and I feel like you're kind of losing on that time, right? So letting some things go and not leaving anything unresolved with your loved ones is something that I would definitely recommend. The next thing that I learned was to genuinely stop overthinking the little things. And I know it's easier said than done, like just telling someone that, hey, you know, don't overthink, like it's not that deep. It's easier said than done, and you can't just like switch it off like that. But I at least wanted to stop thinking about like the little things that bother me every single day, because I realized that I'm so in my own head that I forget that other people are also in their own head. So if I'm out with some people somewhere, and I'm thinking about, okay, do I look okay, like am I sitting properly, and if I'm talking, you know, nicely, and the way I'm talking or the way I'm behaving, chances are that the other people are also thinking about how they're talking, and they're listening, and I mean they're looking, and they're behaving. So the amount that you're thinking about yourself and not about others is the amount that the others are thinking about themselves and not about you. So nobody actually really cares, and that's kind of comforting, because like I have another weird habit of remembering every single outfit I wore with someone, no matter how long ago I met them. So if I met a friend like a month ago and I'm meeting them next week, I remember what I wore when I went to meet them last month, and I would make sure that I don't repeat the outfit, because that's weird, and that's such a lame habit to have. And I remember thinking this way since I was a child, and it's just weird. So I started thinking to myself, okay, I remember what I wore. Do I remember what they wore when I met them the last time? Because if you don't remember what they were wearing, chances are they remember what they wore, but they don't remember what you wore, if that makes sense. So basically, people are thinking about the same things that you're thinking about yourself, and taking that pressure off of overthinking about the little things just makes life so much easier. The next thing is to spend time not just by yourself, but on yourself. So there was a lot of importance given to alone time, I think, in the last year, and a lot of people realize that, you know, it's important to do some things alone, to spend time on yourself, by yourself, and just, you know, work on yourself, make yourself a better person, make yourself the best version of you. But it doesn't happen if you're on your bed, on your phone, alone in your house for like 3 days straight, or if you're like binging a Netflix show like the entire day. That's not time that you've spent by yourself. That's time you've spent by yourself, but that's not time you've spent on yourself. And there were days where, so I'm alone for like a majority of the day, every single day, and that time is genuinely my favorite because I get to do a lot of things that I want to do, which are just regular things, but doing them alone makes me feel like I'm an adult living in my own apartment somewhere, but I'm not. And somewhere down the line, when I wasn't doing the best mentally, I would kind of switch off because I didn't really want to be alone with my thoughts, and I would just kind of be on my phone or watch something on the laptop for the entire day and, you know, say that, okay, like I had a self-care day, so it's fine. But doing that every day kind of diminished the entire idea of spending time by myself, because I wasn't actively learning anything, or I wasn't alone with my thoughts, and I was kind of avoiding them. So when I actually do an activity, whether it's doing my hobby or just working or reading or doing an activity with my friend, that's when I'm spending time on myself. And a really good habit that I appreciate that my friends also have is that when we hang out, either if it's at someone's place or somewhere out, we all tend to avoid our phones so that we could be with each other as much as we can and as actively as we can. So that's something that I really appreciate. The next thing that I learned is that reading is not just for readers. And I realized this because I had a friend who told me that she doesn't really like to read books like that often, but in the last year, towards the end, she picked up a book that was really spoken about, which is The Silent Patient, by the way, and she really liked it. And that's something that kind of drew her to the entire idea of reading for fun and not just reading for like to study. And that's a habit that she said that she really wants to work on in 2023. And I realized that reading is such an underrated hobby because it genuinely teaches you so much. And even it's like the simplest way. So you could be reading like fully fictional books of any genre that you like, but you could still be learning so much. And it's so different than like watching a show or watching a movie, because when you read a book, so I've always been a reader. Like, I think there were like reader kids and non-reader kids when we were growing up, and I was a reader kid. And although I've kind of let that hobby go a little bit, that's something I desperately want to work on this year. And I think that when you read a book, you kind of imagine the entire story and the entire plot in your head, which makes it so creative. And everything, I think every book I've read has taught me something or the other, whether it's about general knowledge or something geographical or like an interesting character trait or personality trait that a character had that I really liked and I picked up and started using in my own life. And I think half of my personality is based on a bunch of different books that I've read and, you know, like things that I liked about the characters, and I started doing them in my own life. So I think reading is something that genuinely teaches you a lot. And if you're not a fan of fiction, then reading something non-fictional could inspire you to do something or be something. And you always learn something that sticks and something that makes you more knowledgeable, which is, again, I think a really good way to spend time on yourself. And I think it's also a nice version of self-care. The next thing that I learned is that you don't constantly have to be happy or sad. And it's a little obvious, but I think I didn't really understand what it's like to actually go through something and experience the different emotions that come with experiencing grief or some kind of trauma or just some kind of issue that you're dealing with in life. Because when, for example, if something good didn't happen in my life, like I didn't do well on my exams and I didn't score as well as I thought I would, and something that I wanted, it obviously didn't make me very happy, and I was very upset with myself because I thought I worked hard, but there was always something more that I could have done, and I wasn't happy with myself. And my parents and my career counselor saw that I was not the happiest, so they knew that I knew what it was, I knew the consequences, and I was upset. But after a while, when I kind of went out with my friends just for a change of space, and it made me happy temporarily because you consistently don't have to be sad, I kind of didn't enjoy that about myself. So I was mad at myself for enjoying myself and having a good time when I should be sad about my exam results. So, and I saw myself doing this a lot. Like when I was going through that period of grief last year, I did not allow myself to be happy when I could have been happy. Either, you know, like a friend had come over and I was spending time with them, and like something as simple as them saying something to make me laugh, I would feel guilty for laughing because I would think that, okay, you know, I'm supposed to be sad right now. How can I laugh? And that's just like contradictory. But if you're going through something in life, it's not, you don't have to behave a certain way, and you don't have to consistently express an emotion, because emotions change, and they sometimes change pretty quickly. Because I've realized that even if I'm happy, I'm not consistently happy, right? If you're excited about something good that's happened in your life, that happiness kind of peaks and then it kind of dies down after a few days or a few weeks. So I think it's the same way with sadness and the same way with any kind of negative emotion. So the one thing that I learned is to not force myself to show some kind of emotion to others and to myself, but to let things go and come as they do. So to let myself feel any emotion that naturally came to me was something that was good for me, because I didn't have to force myself to consistently be happy or consistently be sad or consistently be motivated, because that would kind of drain my energy out. So yeah, I think letting yourself feel whatever you are feeling naturally is way better than acting a certain way just because you're supposed to. And the next thing that I learned was that accepting help when you're not doing okay does not make you weak, and it does not make you a burden. This is something that has been drilled into my head by my friends and people around me, because I am not very good at accepting help. My first instinct when I'm going through something is to shut everyone out and kind of deal with things myself. So I would do this when I was younger. I would do it when I was angry, because I felt like if someone came and spoke to me when I was angry, I would kind of snap at them, and I didn't want to be rude to someone because of something that I was going through. So I would kind of go quiet and I would go into my little room and just, you know, be by myself till I calmed down, which I think is a good habit, because when you're mad at something, you don't want to take it out on someone else. So it's a good habit to kind of calm down on your own and then, you know, just go and talk to them later. But I started doing this when I was going through other emotions as well. So slowly, when I was in my teenage years, anytime I would go through something, I would kind of shut out everyone that I loved and try to deal with it by myself, because I thought that that was the best way to go through something, is to, you know, deal with it yourself, because I think, you know, it makes you stronger and any of that. All of it's bullshit. And I think the people around you are there for a reason, because when someone you love is going through something, you want to help. You feel like helping and you feel like making them feel a little bit better. And when you don't get that chance, it feels a little upsetting to you as well. So it felt like that for me. And when someone eventually opened up and told me about what they were going through or asked for help, it didn't make me feel like they were a burden on me, and it didn't make me think that they were weak. I actually felt really good, and I felt really happy because it showed me that they trusted me and they were vulnerable with me, which shows that, you know, they kind of, they put that trust and time into putting like their emotions out to me so that I could help them. And if I felt good when someone opens up to me, then I believe that me opening up to someone who's asking me how I'm doing would kind of help them understand A, how I'm, why I'm acting the way that I am, and B, it would give them a chance to help me. So if someone's offering help and, you know, you think you should go through it alone, and accepting help is kind of, you know, you're putting your problems on their shoulders, I don't think that's always a bad idea, because if you're willing to take the load off someone's back for a bit, then you have to be able to give your load to some people sometimes. If they have the mental energy and capacity for it, why not? It just helps to go through something with somebody as opposed to going through something alone. The next thing I learned is that walks are severely underrated and very therapeutic. And I'm not talking about the walks that you go on deliberately to, like, go to a park and, you know, you start walking at a pace to lose weight. I'm talking about, like, those walks when you just need some kind of break, when either you're too fatigued and you're procrastinating and you just kind of need to reset and you need some time off, or maybe you've had an argument with someone and you need some space but you don't want to kind of, you know, shut yourself in a room. I think the better option is to go on a walk, and it could be anywhere. It could be like on the terrace of your building, or it could be to a nearby park, or just anywhere where you can kind of take a break and listen to some music or listen to a podcast. You could listen to my podcast. I think it helps you in more ways than you realize, because I've always realized that when I'm back from a walk that I really needed in that moment, I have new ideas to deal with whatever I'm going through, and I have a fresh perspective and a fresh idea that nobody put into my head. It just kind of came because I took that little break when I needed it, instead of kind of delaying it and, you know, saying that, okay, no, I'll just finish it off however, and then I'll go on a break after that. Any kind of break, either, you know, you kind of do a little workout or you just some kind of physical movement, really helps with something that you're going through mentally. Because I think, like, the two of them are connected in some way. Next, I learned that being grateful for things you get goes a long, long way. And this is a mindset that I've been working on since a while, and it's something that I really want to perfect, that I want to be open to receiving new things, and I always want to be open to receiving more, and I want to be open to growing. And I believe that when you're grateful for what you get, only then do you get more. And I think this goes with anything, either it's materialistic or not. I think when you get something new in your life, or when something good happens, just something as simple as just closing your eyes for a second and genuinely saying thank you to whoever you want, to yourself or to someone who's helped you get what you want, or to God if you believe in God, or some other kind of spiritual force, or anything, if you want to say thank you to the universe for bringing you this thing in your life, I think it shows appreciation to yourself and to the world that, you know, you're actually grateful for what you've gotten and you appreciate that thing. I think that's a really good mindset to have. And I realized that this is something that has been taught to us since we were kids. Like, you know, I've always seen parents telling their children that, oh, say thank you to that auntie for giving you that toy or something like that. Like, we've always been taught to say thank you. But I think somewhere along the line, that habit sometimes gets lost. And I know that I have had a hard time in the past saying sorry and thank you, because, you know, I just kind of forget to do that. But genuinely thanking yourself, thanking the universe, shows that you appreciate what you get in life. And it also kind of makes you appreciate what you're getting a little bit more, and I think that's a good thing to have. Next, I learned that sometimes the number of times you cry would surprise you, because it surprised me, but it's better to feel something than to feel nothing, because it kind of festers inside you and comes out in ugly ways. So basically, I think being a cry baby is better than to not cry for months and months, because just because you're not emoting your feelings out does not mean your feelings are not there. You might believe that they're not there, because I believe that I did. Like, I believe that whoever's watched Vampire Diaries, like the Vampire Diaries, there's this thing where they had like a humanity switch in their head where they could just turn it off and they would feel nothing. And honestly, it looked like it made their lives much easier, because they didn't have any regret, they didn't feel any pain. And I remember watching the show and thinking that, you know what, that would be really cool to have, so that I could just get on with life and not think about like emotions that I don't want to deal with. And I kind of did that a couple of times, and I think we can do that if we want to. Like, we can switch off our brain and switch off the emotions to just kind of push it down inside when we think that, okay, you know, I don't have time to deal with this, I'll deal with this later, but I'm switching off right now and I'm just gonna go and do my work and I'm just gonna get on with it. But I think as hard as it is, sitting down and actually feeling those emotions and going through them literally from your head to your toes is harder and it takes longer. But I feel like when you come out of it, you're actually done with those emotions and you don't have to keep going back to them. As opposed to when you kind of let it fester inside you and you don't allow yourself to feel, that entire procedure becomes longer and longer. And when you do decide to sit with your emotions, it kind of becomes complicated, because you don't know where half of them are even coming from anymore. So dealing with something in that moment, even if it makes you cry, even if it makes you upset for a while, I think it's better, because once you're done being upset, you've dealt with it. So it's already in your past. But if you haven't, then it's going to keep growing inside you. So I think that also connects to like this other thing that I just thought of, that there's no timeline to healing of any kind. I think this year I realized that, because it took me longer than I expected to deal with certain problems that I was going through, and it took me shorter than I expected to go through some things. And you know, in both the situations I was like, okay, wait, I think I should sit with this longer, even though I was actually done dealing with it. And I thought, okay, maybe, you know, like, okay, I've cried about this enough, that's it, like I need to stop now, when I wasn't done dealing with that situation. So just because someone else is telling you that, you know what, you've cried about this enough, like that's it, like it's okay, you can get over this now, or if someone's telling you that, hey, you know, like take as long as you need to deal with it, I think you yourself are the best indicator to how long you need to go through anything and to kind of heal and grow yourself. I feel like there have been times where I needed way longer than I gave myself, and I needed way longer than other people gave me. And when I didn't give myself that time in that moment, those feelings came back to me afterwards when I didn't expect them to. So when something happens, taking longer than you thought you needed to get over something is completely valid. And you should give yourself as long as you need, because again, when you're done with it, it's actually going to be a thing of the past, as opposed to if you cut yourself off from emotions literally midway. The next thing that I learned is that it's never too late to meet new people in life. And I learned this because I think all throughout my life, I've had a pool of people in my life which are kind of like my permanent people, which are people that I really believe that would stay with me all throughout my life, and that I've been that there are people that have been around me since years. And a few of them dropped out And when I looked at my little pool or my little circle of people, it had become way smaller. And I was kind of shocked because, you know, I was like, okay, how do I only have 4 friends when I used to have like 27 friends in school? So it's a little odd because I thought that, you know, when I grow up, I would have the same amount of friends and these people are going to stay in my life forever. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And I think throughout life, you kind of lose and gain people. But that's okay because when I lost those people, I thought it was the end of the world very dramatically. And I thought that I would never find more friends. But your 20s and your teenage years are not the only times to meet people. Because if I think about it, my best friend right now is someone I did not know 3 years ago. And it's kind of weird because I wouldn't have expected her to be in my life so strongly 3 years ago because I didn't know her. So that just shows me, that just makes me think that, you know, who knows who I could meet in the next 3 years, and maybe that person would be really important in my life. So it's never too late to meet new people in life or to make new friends. So if there have been some relationships that have been lost in the last year or in this year, it's okay because there will always be new people to meet, and that's an exciting experience. The next thing that I learned kind of ties to the previous point that I said, that you know yourself best. And I mean this in relations to your friendships, your career, your relationships, and other aspects of your life. Sometimes nobody can really understand what you're going through. And I don't mean this in some kind of emo way that, oh, nobody understands what I'm going through. But I think the people that know you really well and that love you a lot can get things right about you maybe 99% of the times. But that 1%, you have to trust your gut and you have to trust your judgment when it comes to you know, finding a solution to a problem or understanding how you're feeling. You know yourself best, and I know myself best. So if I'm having relationship problems, for example, outsiders can give me advice on my relationship, but at the end of the day, the only person that knows what's truly going on is me and the other person in that relationship, or it's me and the other person in that friendship. So the two of us are the only ones who know what's actually going on. So people can kind of try to help you, but if it's something that doesn't sit right with you, if it's something that doesn't go along with your gut feeling, I think trusting your gut feeling is a better option than listening to someone when you don't exactly agree with what they're saying. And then if you make a mistake, at least you know that you made that mistake because of a decision that you made, as opposed to a decision that someone else made for you. The next thing that I learned is that having a morning routine is extremely important. And this is a little bit inspired from the That Girl lifestyle that I will be covering in depth very soon, because I love trying to be that girl. But having a morning routine, very, very subjective to every person, I think it's really important, because when you have a set routine and you kind of pick and choose habits that make you feel good in the morning, I think it really sets the tone for the day. And I have realized that what you do in the morning does set the tone for your day, because I have seen constantly that if I wake up and the first thing I check on my phone is Instagram, and I'm on my phone for like 10-15 minutes also, the morning sign kind of like starts out very sluggish, and I'm slower, and I'm kind of mentally sleepy, and I'm drained out by the end of the day. As opposed to when I wake up, if, you know, I shut off my alarm, I just get out of bed, and I love making my own bed. That's something that is like a really tiny habit that makes me very happy, because that's the first thing that I'm doing off my, like, something that I own, like my own bed where I sleep every day. It's something that I'm doing, and, you know, it's giving me that control of making something neat where I spend a lot of my time. So making my own bed, I love listening to happy music in the morning because it just wakes me up in a better way, as opposed to like just a disgusting Apple alarm, which is really bad. So my own routine, where I make myself breakfast, I spend some time drinking my coffee in the morning, it sets such a positive tone for my day that I think just is an easy way to make sure that your day goes well. So a morning routine, very important. Whatever makes you happy, whatever sits right, and whatever makes you feel productive is a good thing. The next thing that I learned is that finding happiness in the small things is the best thing that you can do for yourself. This kind of comes from the realization that I had that I cannot constantly be happy. So even if I achieved something really big, or like if I maybe scored really well in my exams, which is a big deal, or if something really big happens, that's good. Like, why can't I think of examples? Something like if I get into a new relationship or something like that. All of those things brought me happiness for a short period of time. They made me happy maybe for a couple of weeks or for a couple of months. But eventually, those feelings kind of settle down and you're back to your routine life. There are things that I've had on my bucket list since years. And in the last 2 years, when I achieved them, I thought it would bring me happiness forever. But those feelings kind of settled down after a while. And that made me surprised, because I was like, okay, if I eventually achieve everything I want in my life, what will I have to look forward to? If I get every goal that I have on my bucket list and I'm happy for what, like maybe 2 years after that, but after that, then what happens? I can't constantly be chasing something, because there's not going to be enough things in life for me to chase. So as opposed to finding happiness in the big things, finding happiness in the little things is much easier, because little things happen every single day, and little things will happen every day till you die. So little things like just making a good cup of coffee that makes my entire day, because I had such a good cup of coffee, or having a nice breakfast, or having a nice conversation with our friends. These are little things that could set my tone for the day, and as opposed to me not giving those things as much importance as I should be giving, me actively thinking about those things when I'm not feeling that good. Like, you know what, today I had a cute morning. Like, I woke up, I had my little cup of coffee, I had a nice breakfast, and then I listened to music, and then I made my way to college. I think finding happiness in the smaller things makes you happy long term in a better way, because there will always be smaller things to make you happy. The next thing that I learned is that downtime from the phone is extremely important. And this is advice that everybody knows at this point, but I genuinely think that the days where I've had the best days are the days where my screen time is the least, and the days where my anxiety is at the highest is when my screen time is the most. So that just shows like a direct correlation, which means that spending time away from the phone, doing anything else, I think is better. And it's not always possible to stay away from the phone. So I think at least one day a week should be good, where I think I'm going to mindfully stay away from my phone as much as I can and just spend time on more of my hobbies, or maybe just go out with my friends and spend time with my loved ones and just kind of throw my phone away for the day. I think once a day should be reserved for that. And I also think I want to kind of do a little experiment where I spend 1 week without social media and with the least amount of phone time as I can, and see if that makes a difference. And maybe I'll do an episode on that and see if 1 week without social media and without my phone is making me a better person. The next thing that I learned is that spending more time with your food increases your happiness with it, or just makes your relationship with food better. And this comes from the fact that I don't have the healthiest eating patterns and I don't have the healthiest relationship with food. And it's something that I've been working on since the past 2 years. I think I've been actively trying to make my relationship with food better. And I've tried a bunch of methods, which I will be covering again very soon in another episode, where I will be diving into my disordered eating. But I realized that spending more time with food, if it's maybe going out to get groceries or cooking my own meal, where I mindfully do everything slow. So I literally cook on the lowest flame. I take my time cutting my vegetables, prepping my groceries, spending time with my food there mindfully, maybe listening to some music and cooking my own meal, sitting down without a screen, maybe with a book or something else, and just spending time with my food actively made me appreciate it more and made me want to eat more and eat more healthily, like on my own. And I didn't feel like eating crap at that point because I knew what had gone into my meal and I knew that it was good for my body. So spending more time with my food genuinely increased my happiness with it, and it made me have a better relationship. And that's something that I'm still working on, and I think it's like a continuous journey. The next thing that I learned is that someone's perception of me is not me, and it's not mine, it's theirs. I think there were many situations this year when someone had a perception of me that I know for a fact wasn't true, but it still made me anxious and it still made me second guess who I am as a person. But all I had to do was remember that that's not me, and I know that for a fact. And it's really hard sometimes when someone else believes that you're a certain way when you're not. And that opinion can come from somewhere. It can come from something that someone has said, and it can come from maybe an experience where they've misinterpreted what you've said or what you've done as something that's wrong, but it was just a miscommunication. And in that moment, you can either try to resolve that miscommunication, but if that doesn't work, in case it doesn't work, I think just letting that person have that miscommunication or misperception of you is okay, because trying to resolve it and always trying to better your reputation is going to take a lot of time and a lot of energy. And if it's someone that I don't know, and if it's someone that is not in my life, a perception that they have of me from hearing about me from someone else who also doesn't know me doesn't really make sense, because they don't know who I am, and my friends and my family know who I am and how I am as a person. So someone's perception of me is something that they've built in their head, and that's not the real me. So whatever they think is not my responsibility, it's their responsibility. So I think if it's someone that you care about and someone that you value, it makes sense to kind of rectify your reputation in their head. But you can't do that for everyone, and it's something that you just have to make your peace with. And when you do make your peace with it, it feels really good, because I think I've kind of perfected the art of not really caring about what everyone thinks of me, because it's really hard to do that constantly. And when you stop thinking, when you stop caring about what everyone thinks of you, it makes life much easier, because I think we already have a lot to worry about and a lot of things to stress about, and what people think of you is the last thing that anybody wants to think about. So let that perception go and just be confident in yourself and know for a fact that you are who you are and nobody can change that. So I think that brings me to the end of the episode, and these are all the valuable life lessons that I've learned in the last year, or in the last 6 months rather, because it was a very insightful year for me. But I'm happy that I've had the experiences that I've had, because I think it makes me a stronger person and it makes me more mature, I think. And yeah, if there's anything that you've learned in the last year that you want to share with me, and if you're listening on Spotify, I'm going to add a little question box where you can add in the things that you've learned and also the things that you want to work on or continue working on this year. And I would love to read what you guys think. So let me know. And thank you so much for listening. And I will see you very soon.